thank you for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to visit KentwoodCommunityChurch.com to share how God is using this church in your life. We value you, and we want to hear your story or testimony, so please feel free to send us an email or post online. Also, if interested, you can help support the ministry financially on our website as well. Our hope is that as you listen to today's message, that you experience a real encounter with God.
I have the joy of leading this morning from Romans chapter 5. And I want to welcome in our campuses from around the world, our Nagpur campus, our Wyoming campus, and those viewing us from the Juvenile Detention Center in Kent County. And we welcome them in. So today I'm speaking from Romans chapter 5, a story that resonates with me, and you'll find out in a little bit. But if you would follow along with me, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, it's kind of a little bit of a long read, but we're going to read through it all together here at once and go back over it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Oh, it's a lot to take in. And in the first five verses, we've kind of got this cool stuff that Paul talks about. He talks about faith in Jesus and access we have to God through him. But in 6 through 11, Paul kind of talks about the how, why we get that. So I want to go through that first, verses 6 through 11, and then we'll kind of backtrack to 1 through 5. I want to start out by saying this: God doesn't wait for us. His timing is perfect. Have you ever been kind of at the wrong place at the wrong time, or maybe the right place at the right time? I've had a couple experiences myself where I just happened to be with the right person, the right group of people. Every 6 months or so, this happens, if somebody says to me, "You look just like Brad Pitt." So I'm like, all right, thanks. I don't really see it. I'm 5'8" on a good day, not any hair, I don't know, but I've had people tell me, and then I take it as a compliment, and I tell my wife every time, "Hey, somebody told me I look like Brad Pitt again." She's like, "Well, I don't know, but I'll take it too." And then where we're just at the wrong place at the wrong time, or we kind of give the wrong advice. I was playing baseball in the backyard at my house with my kids, in particular my 8-year-old son. I have 3 kids, an 8-year-old boy, a 4-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old little girl who is like the cutest person in the whole world, but that's beside the point. I was pitching with my son, who is 8. He plays baseball and been struggling a little bit with hitting, we'll say. So I said, "All right, bud, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pitch to you really slow. I'll underhand it to you. I just want you to keep your eye on that ball. Swing. Watch your bat hit the ball. Simple as that. Nothing to be worried about." One black eye later, he doesn't believe me so much. I gave him this advice and I told him, don't worry, you'll be good. And the ball ricochets off his bat right into his eye. And he's kind of thinking like, what kind of time is this to tell me not to be afraid of the ball? And I would agree with him. I kind of gave him some backwards advice in that moment. Then I had to tell him, you know, like, you can get hurt in any sport. You can get hurt in football or soccer or basketball. I had to kind of try to coach him back. But God's timing is perfect. If you look in verse 6 with me, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time. His timing is perfect. And he doesn't wait for us. He doesn't wait to see, like, are these people gonna follow me or not? He said, my son is gonna die for their sins. Right now. Regardless of what they do. God's timing is so unlike ours. It's our tendency to wait and see what others are thinking before we'll do something like apologize. Am I right? Husbands, wives, not that I would know anything about this, but a lot of times we want to make sure it's safe to apologize before we do it. Or maybe among siblings, I don't know. Is this person going to be sorry? Are they going to reciprocate what I'm feeling? Or am I going to put myself out there for their sake? Just like Jesus did for us. God's timing, God's love, I'm sorry, God's love is one of a kind. If you look at Romans 5:8 with me, Paul says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, there's that didn't wait, right? There's that still word again. He says it twice. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love much deeper and so much more bold than us. His love is one of a kind. He's not fickle about it. He doesn't change his mind. He didn't say, well, my son's going to die on the cross for these people's sins, but only if they receive it. His love is so much different, so much deeper than ours. How do you demonstrate your love? I would say my son didn't really see much of mine when I kind of demonstrated to him that you got to be tough when you get hit in the eye. You got to take that with a grain of salt. It's going to happen. Toughen up, boy. God's love is so much deeper than ours. And again, he didn't wait and see if we would first walk with him. No. He demonstrated his love by dying for us. Take away our sins. If you look at Romans 5:10 with me, it says, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through his death, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I was poring over these couple verses for a while. I kept coming across this word reconciled and thought, well, I better make sure I know what this word means. So like a good, well-educated person, I went to Google. I said, Google, what does reconciled mean? Google gave me a couple things. It says, to settle an agreement, okay? To make an account consistent with another. So for those of us that are really worried about things balancing out all the time, whether it's finances or whatever it is, if you take from this side, you got to balance it out with this side, right? And then it says, to make someone accept a disagreeable or unwelcome thing. I kind of identify the most with this one. To make someone accept a disagreeable or unwelcome thing. So it's kind of like this idea of like, well, something's happened, whether you liked it or not. Now we've got to find acceptance. We've got to balance this out somehow. And then like a good youth director, youth pastor, I said, well, I gotta have the biblical definition of reconcile. So I looked that up, and Bible Gateway gave me this one. It says, in its most embracive meaning, reconciliation has to do with the removal of that which stands in the way of the proper relationship between God and the world. Reconciliation has to do with the removal of that which stands in the way of the proper relationship between God and the world. 15 years ago, I had my own little run-in with reconciliation. I was graduating high school very soon. We're celebrating seniors today, graduating, whether it's high school or college or your high school equivalency, whatever it is. I was about to graduate high school. In fact, I was 8 days away. The date was May 14, 2002, and I was on my way to school, just like every day. I was a senior in high school, so I could drive, and I was alone. Actually, a lot of times my younger brother would ride with me to school, but for whatever reason on that day, I was solo in my car. And I came up to an intersection that was very familiar to me, that I had at least driven through 1,000 times. On my way to school, there was a young 13-year-old man on his way to school as well. He was walking, I was driving, and he had decided to start going out into the road. Before either of us could see each other, I ran into him and struck him with my car. A total accident, but there it was. It happened. And what do you do? This young boy was knocked backwards and was immediately knocked unconscious, and I had kind of frozen in my car as I'm driving, and I kind of just rolled to a stop. I had a teeny little car that was a stick shift, and I just kind of rolled to a stop and thought, what do I do? So I got out. I got out and I ran to the scene that was on the corner of this intersection, and there were people surrounding him already. Everybody trying to figure out what in the world to do. Ambulance came. Tried to get him responding, and it wasn't working, and they loaded him into the ambulance and took him to the hospital immediately. And they were on top of it. I was loaded into the back of a police car and kind of told to wait. A little while later, I was allowed to go home and decided to go visit this family, and there was an emotional roller coaster from there on out. The next day, this young man passed away in the hospital. And from there on out, things changed. We had to figure out, how is this going to be reconciled? What are we going to do to balance this out? Now, don't get me wrong, there needed to be consequences. This young man lost his life. I understand. I understand now more than ever, having my own children. Something had to be done, and so we waited. My family and I, we waited on word from legal authorities. Waited months and months. Lasted all the way until September, until finally we're going to go into court and we're going to figure out what is going to happen. In court, they had decided to sentence me with a few things, having recognized that this was an accident. This was not intentional in any way. But again, there had to be some reparation, some reconciliation. So I was given a couple years of probation. I had to appear at certain things, driver's ed classes and things of that nature, and talk about what had happened so maybe these students wouldn't experience the same thing. I had to pay back some amounts of money. A lot of restitution had to be paid for loss of certain things. And this process kind of went on so as to reconcile what had happened. And kind of in the midst of all that, when you go into court and you say, yes, this happened, and all the feelings that come with it, you develop this feeling of guilt, this guiltiness that stays with you. Because this was an accident, yes, but it was also my fault. So this is how I felt guilty. This is how I felt for a long time. Having emotions kind of let me lose sight of things for a while. So as we move on, the next point I want to make, though, is God offers reconciliation through Jesus. Going back to that definition of reconciliation, as according to Bible Gateway, it says, in its most embracive meaning, reconciliation has to do with the removal of that which stands in the way of the proper relationship between God and the world. So Jesus, having sacrificed himself and dying for our sins, removed our sins. I love that word in this definition, the removal. He covered our sins. He removed them. He kicked them out. Whatever you want to say, Jesus took care of those in a way that nobody else can. The legal system can't remove things. We try to balance things out. You can't remove things. You can't remove your own sin. You can't do that, but Jesus can, and he did. God offers true reconciliation through Jesus. All we have to do is claim that we have been reconciled to God through Jesus. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't do it. Sometimes we don't even realize we can do it. But Jesus died for us so that we can be reconciled back to God. God offers reconciliation through Jesus. We can go from shameful and dirty and guilty and all these things, whatever we're holding, we can go from all that feeling guilty and in despair to being alive again in him. Being alive again because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and the reconciliation that God offers us through that. Is that a good feeling? After that kind of process, man, being alive again, wow, what a gift. Reconciliation is such a gift. And again, all we have to do is claim it. It's been given to us. My last point is this: God gives us peace and hope. God gives us peace and hope. Romans 5:1 says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why do we have peace? Because we've been reconciled to him. If you choose to receive that reconciliation gift and you claim it, you are at peace with God. There's nothing standing between you and Him anymore. We also have a hope. And like Romans 5:5 says, it's a hope that does not disappoint us. And why do we have this hope? Again, because of Jesus. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Our hope isn't just in worldly things anymore. Our hope isn't that something will balance each other out. No, our hope is in Jesus because He removed our sin. Hope in Him will never disappoint us. So as I kind of wrap up today, I just want to ask you a couple things. Who do you need to reconcile with today? I mean, maybe it's a small thing that you've kind of carried in here with your family or a friend or a coworker or whatever, but maybe it's not just a small thing. Regardless, who is that person you need to reconcile with? And are you waiting on them? Are you waiting on them to make the first move? Or should you make the first move? Next question is, have you claimed the reconciliation we have through Jesus with God? It's there. Jesus died, He defeated our sins, He removed them. It's up to you now. Are you going to choose to claim that? And if not, what is keeping you from it? What is keeping you from doing that? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your word, Lord. Thank You for what Paul has written here in Romans. Lord, just spelling out what reconciliation with You looks like. Lord, that we can be reconciled to You because of Your shed blood on the cross. It's just a matter of, are we going to take hold of that or not? Thank You for Your never-ending love, the peace we can have with You, and the hope that we know we have in You. And we thank You for the way You've demonstrated Your love to us. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.